on. Devil with a blue dress on. Devil with a blue dress on.
You know how fast you were going?
What?
How fast you were going?
65.
The negative consequences of drinking and driving can kill the vibe to any good night, and thousands of people die every year from drunk drivers. So whatever you do, call a cab, crash on a buddy's couch, just don't hit the roads drunk. This message was brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio.
Give thanks and praises to the Most High.
Hi ho, hi ho, on the air we go. Hello, hello, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf with DJ Breezy here on radio.dominican.edu. So if this is your first time listening to my show, welcome, hello, thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I'm going to be here every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. and my show is called The Eighth Dwarf because I'm talking everything about Disney, yes. And if you listened to my last show, thank you so much for tuning in again. I love that. So today's topic is going to be Disney movie spin-offs. And you might be wondering, well, this is only your second show. Why aren't you talking about Disney movies first? Well, let me stop you right there. So last night was Once Upon a Time season 6 premiere, and I am such a big fan of that I watched it last night. And I thought it would be really fitting to talk about it today because it was the night before. And I'll be talking about the season 6 premiere and some Once Upon a Time facts later on because I do consider it a Disney spinoff. So I'm going to jump right in and I'm going to talk about 8 notable spinoffs. Now these Disney movie spinoffs are TV shows that are based on Disney cartoon movies. And I'm going to start with Buzz Lightyear of Star Command. And this is a spinoff from the movie Toy Story. And it lasted from 2000 to 2001. And I actually didn't really watch this one, but it sounds really interesting because I did enjoy Buzz's character from Toy Story. And in this series, Buzz talks about his life with Star Command, which is the group he was part of to defend the galaxy. And I think that's pretty cool. Anything galactic sounds pretty interesting to me. And Buzz and his friends join forces to fight off the evil Emperor Zurg. And if you are familiar with the movie Toy Story, if you've watched it, you know that Emperor Zurg is Buzz's enemy. And the second one is The Little Mermaid. It's a spinoff from The Little Mermaid, if you couldn't already tell. And this series lasted from 1992 to 1994. And I wasn't actually born yet, but this series did show up in, I believe, the early 2000s. So I did watch a couple episodes, and I really liked the show. I thought it was pretty interesting. And so the show explores Ariel's life before the movie begins, which means it's showing her life with her sisters under the sea before she meets Prince Eric. And I think this is pretty cool because we only really get a quick glimpse of what her life was under the sea. And we can kind of see, we can see what she did before she met Prince Eric with her sisters and her dad. And maybe even see why she may have wanted to move up to land. I don't know. I think when I watched it, I thought, why'd you want to leave? It looks like a lot of fun. And her dad had such a pretty high spot within the land under the sea, so I don't know why you want to leave. And although the series ended, one of the reasons why I like the show is that it brought in pretty cool aspects. So for example, the show featured a deaf mermaid, and I think that's pretty cool, adding it into a children's show, kind of exposing us kids to see people who are part of our everyday life and we may come across but we don't always notice so often. So I think adding that little feature was pretty unique. I haven't seen it in any other kids show, at least so far. Number 3 is Lilo and Stitch the series. Clearly it is from the movie Lilo and Stitch. Lilo and Stitch, I'm sorry. And the series lasted from 2003 to 2006. Now, I definitely watched the show, and it was honestly so, so funny. And since we already mostly know who Experiment 626 is, also known as Stitch from the movie Lilo and Stitch, this show focuses on the other 625 experiments. And I think this is really cool of them to do because, you know, we see a glimpse of the other 625 in the movie, but we never really got to know them. So this movie explores all of the other 625. And it's pretty funny. It's so funny. You should watch it. Number four is Lion King's Timon and Pumbaa. And this is the spinoff of The Lion King, focusing more on Timon and Pumbaa, if you didn't already get that. And this series lasted from 1995 to 1999. I was already born at this time, but I actually didn't see it at all. No, I have. Maybe one or two episodes. Maybe you have too, and maybe you liked it. I don't know. And this show takes you into the world that our favorite characters live in. So instead of focusing more on Simba's life, it focuses more on, I guess, the supporting characters of the movie, such as Timon and Pumbaa, and even the hyenas are in there too. So it's a pretty cool show. And number five is The Emperor's New School. And this is a spinoff of The Emperor's New Groove. And I think this was the funniest show I've seen, like, of all time. It was pretty funny. I actually didn't really like the movie, but I really liked the show. I felt it could have been relatable in some aspects because it was taking Emperor Kuzco from his life, you know, being an emperor, but now he's brought into a school setting and being a person who was still in school. I was like, ooh, I wish I could do that. So it's pretty cool, kind of almost like living through Kuzco, just because I got to see what he would do, and it would make me want to do it too. And this show lasted from 2006 to 2008, so there was a lot of time for me to see this show, and maybe you have too. I don't know. And as I said, this follows the life of Emperor Kuzco while he attends school, so we get to see all of his characteristics that we saw in the movie, such as how he was so flamboyant and so arrogant and conceited, but there was a lot of very funny twists to it. And we also see some of our favorite characters from the movie, such as Yzma and Kronk, who were literally one of the craziest characters and so funny. So you definitely will see Yzma yelling at Kronk, "Pull the lever, Kronk." I can't do the voice, so don't blame me. I'm not that good at it. And the next one, number six, is Aladdin. This is a spinoff of the movie Aladdin, and it lasted from 1994 to 1995. When I was researching all of this, I didn't even know this show existed. I kind of wish I knew it did earlier. I actually wasn't born when this movie was airing on TV, the TV series was airing on TV. And this show follows the adventures of Aladdin. That's really all it is. Just Aladdin, Jasmine, everyone in Agrabah, you know. And number seven is Hercules, the animated series. And this is a spinoff of Hercules. And this series lasted from 1998 to 1999. And just as I feel towards Aladdin, Hercules, I've never seen it. I wish I did before. It sounds like a pretty cool show because I thought Hercules was a really good movie. This show features our favorite characters from the movie, and it actually included more information about Greek mythology. I think that's pretty cool because we only really learned a bit of Greek mythology in school. So getting to see this featuring a lot of the characters that we loved from the movie and having it brought to us and taught to us in a way that is very easy to understand for kids, I think that's a really cool thing that they did. And this series took place at Hercules Training Center at Prometheus Academy. And last but not least is The Legend of Tarzan, which is a spinoff of the movie Tarzan. And this series lasted from 2001 to 2003. And no, I didn't see this either. These last three I had never even heard of. I mean, I heard of the movie, but I didn't know that they had a spinoff of it, of a TV series on Disney Channel. I wish I did earlier, but you know, missed opportunities. And this show follows the young Tarzan in the jungle. So those are some eight notable spin-off TV shows of very loved, favorite Disney movies. And right now, I'm going to take a quick break, but right after, I'm going to be talking about 10 pointless spin-offs. Now, I'm only using the word pointless because I got this from a website called popmatters.com when I was doing my research, and this is not my list. I didn't put this in this order. I don't agree with all of them because some of them I really liked and I feel a little bit offended, just a little bit. So this is just theirs. I'm going to be giving my opinion on them. I'm going to be telling you the list. So yeah, stay tuned for that. And later in the show, hold up before I go. Later in the show, I'm going to be talking about 10 facts you may not have known about Once Upon a Time, which is one of my all-time favorite TV shows. And at the very end, you should stay for this if you haven't seen the season 6 premiere. I am going to be talking about the season 6 premiere of Once Upon a Time that showed last night at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I watched it, I took notes, and I loved it so much. And if you don't like spoilers, just listen in because I'm going to be telling you the whole episode. So maybe it'll make you want to watch the series if you haven't started yet, to continue the series if you maybe got too busy with your life, or, you know, if you just want to hear what it's about and you may not even be interested in watching the series, but you want to know what happens, what goes on, because it features a lot of very favorite Disney movie characters. So, hi-ho, on a break we go. Remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf with DJ Breezy on radio.dominican.edu.
Hi ho,
back from break we go. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf with DJ Breezy on radio.dominican.edu. And I just talked about some 8 notable Disney movie spinoffs that were TV shows shown on Disney Channel. And right now, I'm going to be talking about 10 pointless spinoffs. And just a reminder that this is not my list. I got this according to popmatters.com. So this is their list. I don't agree with all of them. Just a little disclaimer over here. So I'm going to be going to do a countdown from 10 to 1. So starting at number 10, it is The Return of Jafar. And the reason that I believe that they listed this as a pointless spinoff because Robin Williams didn't voice the genie in this spinoff of Aladdin because and instead the man who voices Homer Simpson, Dan Castellaneta, I'm sorry if I mispronounce that, he did it instead. So if the original genie, one of the most beloved characters from the movie Aladdin, is not voicing this original character, you know, it's not the same. It doesn't have that same flair. The magic isn't really there. And, you know, no offense to the guy who voices Homer Simpson. It's just, you know, having the original there makes a big difference. It's way better. It's as if someone were to replace Troy Bolton from High School Musical. Why would you do that? And also, I believe that they put this on the list because nothing was really new in the movie. It was similar plot, but a little bit different, just a slight twist. But, you know, if there's really nothing new, how can it be that enjoyable? But I can't say so much about it because I've never seen it. And there may be a reason why, because I read this. I don't know. Coming in at number 9 is Lion King 1.5. Now, I've heard actually a lot of good reviews about this, but even though I've heard a lot of good reviews, I've never seen it. Is that bad? Is that bad that I haven't seen it? I don't know. I keep saying that, but what can you do? And this movie that is a spinoff of the Lion King, clearly, it follows the life of Timon and Pumbaa before, during, and after their time with Simba and the rest of the Lion King peeps. So, I have nothing wrong with Timon and Pumbaa. This actually sounds very interesting. Those were two really great characters that I kind of wish did have more screen time in the Lion King. But if you really like Timon and Pumbaa from the original, maybe you should go watch this if you haven't already, because why not? It sounds great. So I don't know why they would put this on this list if it sounds great. And number 8 is Beauty and the Beast and Enchanted Christmas. Now, just from this title, it sounds great. The word enchanted just gets me. Enchanted. Wow. It's not just a Christmas. It's an enchanted Christmas. That's so beautiful. And this is basically a holiday special showing what happened in between two major plots in the original movie. Now, when I was reading their description, they sounded so mad about this. But from my perspective, this sounds really great. A holiday special? Who doesn't like Christmas? Really? Come on, you don't even need to be Christian to like it. And yeah, I don't know why they would put this on this list. It sounds fantastic. Maybe you should go watch it and make a review yourself. Have your own opinion. Don't listen to everyone else's. Number 7, Lady and the Tramp 2 Scamp's Adventures. Okay, I've never seen the first one. I've never seen it's spinned off of, Lady and the Tramp. I feel like I don't even need to know. All I need to know is that there's this, I guess, this rich dog and this poor dog. They come together, these two worlds collide, and they come together because they were eating spaghetti. I don't know, is there anything more I need to know? I feel like that's about it. And this movie follows the life of Lady and the Tramp's son named Scamp, and it focuses on his adventures. And I guess one reason that Pop Matters put this on the list is because little Scamp wants to join a gang called the Junkyard Dogs. And I think the reason why they put this on the list is because of that. Like, why would they put a dog wanting to join a gang in a children's movie? Why would you do that? I don't know, but it's there. So if you want to see what Scamp does with his junkyard dog friends, you should watch it. Number 6 is Atlantis, Milo's Return. It's a spinoff of Atlantis. Yeah, I've seen the movie, but I haven't seen it in a while, so my memory's still a little fluffy. I don't remember a lot from it. And apparently, according to PopMatters.com, this movie is mediocre. I don't know why they would say that. That's a pretty harsh word, but that's what they said. And also, apparently, the animation wasn't as good as the original. Now, the content of a movie should be very good, but a lot of kids, they're just staring at the TV. So if the animation's not that great, that's really sad. But as I've said before, you should just watch these movies and, you know, it's up to you. Let's see what you say. Number 5 is The Little Mermaid. Little Mermaid 2, I'm sorry, Return of the Sea. It is a spinoff of the original The Little Mermaid. And in this movie, Ariel and Eric have a daughter named Melody who wants to go to the sea. Why would this be put on the list? I believe I've watched this movie and it's pretty cute. They have a child. You get to see what happens after. They have a child. And she has black hair. It's pretty cute. Like, she looks like Ariel, but she has Eric's hair. Lovely. And her name's Melody. That's so cute. And so, yeah, she wants to go to the sea, which is pretty ironic because her mom literally wanted to get out of the sea, which she did at the end of the movie. And in this movie, this sequel, there is a rivalry between Melody, Ariel's daughter, and Ursula's sister, Morgana. Ooh. So it's really like part two, or like the second generation of Ariel versus Ursula. That sounds interesting. That sounds very interesting. Why? I don't really like this list, but I'm telling you anyway because it sounds pretty interesting. And maybe you want to watch these. I don't know. So I'm telling you right now. And number 4 is Bambi 2. Okay, I've never seen Bambi. And this whole time, I thought Bambi was a girl. But apparently, he's a boy. I've never watched it, so I can't say anything. And the only reason I haven't watched it is because Bambi's mother dies. And I don't like it when a good character dies. So I decided not to watch it. Because I already know what happens. It's just Bambi in the forest, and there's Thumper here and there. I don't know. And so Bambi 2 features more human hunters. Okay, so if the mom dies in the first movie, more animals in the forest are dying because of the human hunters? That is so sad. I can see why this was pretty high up in the list. This is a sad movie. You're exposing this to the children? That all of the animals in the forest die? Oh no. And there's a rivalry between Bambi and another deer. So at least we know that Bambi doesn't die in this movie. We already know that because Bambi, who I guess is a boy, it has a rivalry between another deer. So he makes it. Bambi makes it through till the end, which is good. And on Pop Matters, they said it basically features a lot of death. This is not appealing to me at all. I want people to live. I want them to be happy in the forest. I want these animals to be thumping around and hopping and galloping and whatever they do. Let them live. Okay, number 3 is The Fox and the Hound 2. I haven't seen a lot of this, and I haven't seen The Fox and the Hound, the first one. I haven't seen it. I'm sorry. I just haven't. Yeah, that's all I can say. I just haven't seen the movie. And it is basically a story of a dog who wants to join an all-hound singing group. I feel like I need to watch the first one because I want to see how this dog wants to join a singing group. That sounds pretty cute. Just seeing a bunch of dogs like howling together, you know, as a group. And ooh, maybe they harmonize. Fun harmonizing dogs. Okay, I can do that. Number 2 is Leroy and Stitch, and it is a spinoff of the movie Lilo and Stitch. I see what they did there. The L's and then the Stitch. You know, you see, are we on the same path here? You know, Lilo and Leroy, Lilo, yeah. Okay, so This is actually a movie finale to the TV series. So this is pretty cool because it's right after the TV series ended, and it's just, it ends with the movie. And it showed the completion of the mission to capture all 625 experiments. Now this sounds cool. This is up my alley. Ooh, yes. Yes. And it featured a showdown between Stitch and his evil clone, Leroy. Ooh. Yes, sign me up. I'm going to watch this soon because I haven't seen it. And coming in at number one, according to PopMatters.com, it is Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time. I believe I've only seen this once, and I didn't watch it all the way through because I got a little bored. So maybe that's why I got number one on the list, because I didn't really approve of it. So the evil sisters get a hold of Cinderella's fairy godmother's wand. And of course, they were so annoying in the first movies, so they're probably going to be annoying in this one because they got the wand. So you probably know something bad's going to happen. Something did bad happen. So they go back in time and make the glass slipper fit their feet. That should be enough to tell you that It's going down. Those two stepsisters need to step down from what they're doing and stop, you know? Okay, so that is Pop Matters' list of 10 pointless spinoffs. Hopefully this will help you maybe want to see one of these movies, have your own opinion on them, or maybe even just agree on it. Who knows? Who knows? I just decided to bring up this list to you, so maybe you'll be interested in watching it because, or maybe it'll just even make you want to watch the original movies one more time. You never know. Okay, so we are going to go on a quick little break. Right after that break, I am going to be talking about Once Upon a Time, some 10 unknown facts, or maybe 10 facts that you just may not know. Okay, so hi-ho, on a break we go. Remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu.
Chance, won't you give me a chance? Cause I just want our romance to grow.
Just tuning in, I just talked about some 10 pointless spinoffs, and I say that in air quotes because it was not my list, but I'm a little offended by some of them because some of them were really good. And now I'm going to be talking about Once Upon a Time. Yes, this is a spinoff. I totally consider it a spinoff, and I really wanted to talk about this because I love the show so much, and I consider this a spinoff mostly because it features a lot of our favorite Disney characters in it. So yes, it's a spinoff. I will fight you on this. No, I won't. I'm just kidding. So first off, I got these 10 facts, these 10 possibly unknown facts to you from fame.com. And I got all of these and all of this information verbatim from a website. So these are not my words. Just a little disclaimer right there. So number one, it is Charming was supposed to die. Now, this one totally got me caught me by surprise because I didn't want Charming to die. Charming was a great character. Why would you kill him off? And here, let me read what fame10.com said. In the beginning of the show, Charming suffered a near fatal stab wound while trying to get his daughter to the wardrobe of our world, which means Charming was originally meant to die in the pilot episode. This is so sad. Just imagine once, if you like Once Upon a Time, just imagine Charming not there. Charming is not there with our beloved Mary Margaret. Oh no. And, let me finish. However, the writers of the show decided that his character was too important, amen to that, to the overall storyline, and it would have been difficult to continue the show without him. Yes, totally agree, 100 emoji. Of course, yeah. He's so important. That's Emma's dad, seriously. And yes, okay, I forgot to say this at first. There's spoilers. There are spoilers now, and then the last part of my show is straight up a spoiler. I'm literally going to be talking about the entire season 6 premiere, so stay tuned for that if you want to listen. So as I continue, instead of making his injury a fatality, his character ended up in the hospital in a coma. And I think this was really cute how they did this, because it kind of lets Mary Margaret, or aka Snow White, to kind of kiss him and give him true love's kiss. Oh yes, I love it. Number 2 is Evil Peter Pan. Ooh. So the writers of Once Upon a Time didn't decide to make Peter Pan evil just for the sake of the show. In the original drafted screenplay by J.M. Barrie, Peter Pan is the villain. The tale almost ended up being that Pan kills the lost boys when they get too old. In an interview with HitFlix, Edward Kitsis, co-creator of the show, said, "Peter Pan was very mischievous in that book. If you think about 14-year-old boys, we think back to our youth. To want to be that for the rest of your life is dark. What happens to somebody who wants to cling to youth at any cost? For us, that is a villain." That's pretty cool. I think that's really cool. After watching the show, after seeing a whole season really dedicated to Peter Pan, seeing him as nice and not evil, it just doesn't seem right. I got so used to seeing him as an evil character. So totally fitting. I love it. Peter Pan was good. His actor is cute. Just throwing that out. Whatever. Okay. Number 3 is inspiration for Captain Hook. The character of Captain Hook is inspired by Wesley from The Princess Bride and Han Solo from Star Wars. This is probably the most clear when Hook comes back to help at the end of season 2, like Han Solo and said to Emma, as Wesley did to Buttercup in The Princess Bride, "As you wish." Also, Hook was supposed to be a part of season 1, but there were copyright issues involved with writing him into the show. He didn't end up appearing until the crocodile episode in season 2. I'm really sad that Hook didn't appear in season 1. I think he would have just been so fitting. I was totally waiting for his character to come through. He's so relevant. He's so necessary. And I'm glad that after season 2, he's just been in every single season's thus far, and he is just so necessary. I love Hook's character. It's really great. It's so good. So I mean, although he may not have gotten to be in season 1, at least season 2 rather than season 3 or way later, at least it was as soon as possible. Number 4, Lady Gaga was offered a role. Can we just stop here? I really cannot imagine Lady Gaga being in Storybrooke in Once Upon a Time. It just doesn't seem fitting. I think she just seems more fitting in American Horror Story just because I've seen how she looks there. Once you've already done it, it's kind of hard to like change your mind about it. So Fame10 said Lady Gaga was originally offered the role of the Blue Fairy / Mother Superior. Her management team never responded to the offer, so the role went to Keegan-Connor Tracy. It's probably for the best. Her busy schedule wouldn't have coincided with the role because the fairy has become a quite frequently recurring character on the show. I totally agree with this. Totally. Yeah. because I don't know, the fairy is so cute. The fairy, it's such a cute character. I think it was a really good addition to the show. I mean, it was kind of necessary for the show, but to see that it's a recurring role is really nice, because just learning more about the story, learning more about any character's story is really cool. And I just always wait, like, when a new character comes up, like, where did you come from? Why are you here? How did you get here? Who are you involved with? How do you mesh with everything that's going on already? Number five is Zelina. So the creators of the show worked with Rebecca Mader on the set of Lost and wanted her for Once Upon a Time. As a result, the character of Zelina was written specifically with her in mind. Dang, I wish that was me. I wish that was me. That is goals right there. But that's really cool. I can't see anyone else playing Zelina. She is just perfect for the role. Number six is Disney appearances. The Disney characters who make random appearances on the show always coincide with the release of a movie. For example, Ariel appeared on the show when The Little Mermaid was re-released. Same with Cruella when 101 Dalmatians was re-released. The Wicked Witch showed up on the anniversary of The Wizard of Oz and a year after the release of Oz the Great and Powerful. This makes sense though, because Once Upon a Time is owned by ABC, which is a part of the Disney company. See? There you go. That is how this is considered a Disney spinoff. That is how I tied this into today's show. So there you go. To everyone who doubted me, there it is. There it is, Disney. This is a Disney show. Disney appearances. Number seven is historical inaccuracies. For history nerds, it's evident that there are some historical inaccuracies on the show. For example, on the show, the characters talk about using the guillotine, but these fairy tales are set somewhere between the 1200s and 1500s, and the guillotine wasn't used until the French Revolution in 1792. Honestly, I don't consider myself a history buff, or I guess the words they used here was history nerds. I didn't know that, so it doesn't really bother me. It maybe bother you. Who knows? I don't know. Number eight is almost cast. The role of Emma Swan almost didn't go to Jennifer Morrison. How weird is that? Fellow actress Katie Sackhoff auditions 5 times for the role of Emma Swan in hopes of getting it. But unfortunately, Jennifer was the right fit. Yeah. Yeah, that's really, you know, sometimes no matter how many times you try to do something, it's like, for me, I've acted before, and seeing and reading this, you know, sometimes you really just don't fit a role. And here it just proves that, you know, your personality may not be what the directors are looking for. Your look just may not be what they're looking for. So, you know, it's just how it is. You just may not fit, and you just may fit a different role. And that's totally fine. It's nothing personal. It's just you, it's not perfect. You're just not right for it. And that's, it's okay. I've accepted it. It's okay. Number nine is hidden meanings. Many of the names of characters on the show have hidden meanings. Most of the time, these meanings lead back to their fairy tale counterpart. For example, Mary Margaret Blanchard, who is Snow White, has a French term blanc or blanc. I don't know. I'm probably mispronouncing this. I didn't take French. I took Spanish. Within her name, which translates to white. Also, Mary Margaret comes from the full name Maria Sophia Margareta Katharina Freifrauen von Erthel. I probably butchered that. I'm so sorry. Who is believed to be the real woman behind the original character of Snow White. Now this is cool. I love it when there's just hidden meanings in there, and when you find out what kind of like the secret is. It's so cool hearing about this. And I always thought Snow White having the name Mary Margaret was the cutest name ever. I thought it was just so fitting. So seeing how there's an actual reason for them to give her this name is so cool to know. And coming in at number 10 is true fairy tale love. Most loyal fans will already know this, but Jennifer Goodwin is married to her on-screen husband, Josh Dallas. The couple met while working together on the show and now share 2 adorable kids together. No wonder their on-screen kiss chemistry is so convincing. I love this fact. It's so, it makes watching the show more interesting, more engaging, because deep down you know that when they kiss or when they're talking to to each other when they're doing scenes together that it's really them. They can really put themselves into it, and you can probably tell that they really do love each other, both on and off the screen. So I just love that fact. That's my favorite fact, because love is so good. Love is so great. These two are such great characters. It is amazing. This is one of the reasons why I love Once Upon a Time. So now I am going to be going on a quick break, but right after, if you have not yet seen the season 6 premiere of Once Upon a Time, I am going to literally tell you every single thing that happened in the season 6 premiere. Yes, I will do that, because I took notes just for you, because I just love the show so much, and oh, it's so great, so great. Season 6 premiere, it was a really good start. I was waiting for this for months. I'm so glad it came, and I just thought talking about it today would just be so fitting because it happened last night. So if you don't want spoilers, just listen anyway. I like talking to you, okay? So, hi-ho, back. Oh, not back. Going on a break we go. Remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf with DJ Breezy here on radio.dominican.edu. From break we go. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. I recently just talked about some 10 possibly unknown facts to you about one of my favorite shows, Once Upon a Time. And before I get into a recap of Once Upon a Time season 6 premiere, I just wanted to let you know that there is a volleyball live broadcast of the volleyball game tonight at 7. So if you cannot make it to the game, listen to radio.dominican.edu at 7 p.m. to hear a live broadcast of it. So now I'm going to be jumping right into Once Upon a Time's season 6 premiere. So starting off, I'm going in order of this because I was taking notes as I watched the show. So the episode started off showing this man on a horse being chased by another man on a magic carpet. Now, a magic carpet. What does that tell you? Well, we never really got to know who the man was, but the person on the carpet was Jafar, not Aladdin. I'm sorry. And Jafar chased this man into a building where a young girl and Aladdin were. So we do get to see Aladdin for quite just a little bit of time. And this then cuts to a scene of Emma and Hook enjoying each other's company a little more than, you know, they need a room for it. They're enjoying themselves a little too much. When suddenly the room starts to shake and they rush outside to see a large blimp-like flying object that is carrying a ship. And Dr. Jackal says that it is from the Land of Untold Stories. So if you have watched season 5 of Once Upon a Time, you know that the show gets into the story of Dr. Jackal and Mr. Hyde. And so he's in Storybook 2, but Mr. Hyde as well. And Mr. Hyde appears out of nowhere and said that the flying object is his as well as Storybrooke. I was literally like, excuse me, what are you talking about? No, it is not yours, but that's what he said. He said it in this very menacing tone. I didn't appreciate it, and I bet the town didn't either, but that's what he said. That is what he said. And then we see Emma and her father cleaning stuff up from what happened to be the ship, what appeared to be the ship, and it looked like it crashed. And Charming just casually tosses a piece of metal onto another, you know, not really thinking about it. And then this triggers Emma. She gets this vision of her fighting against someone using swords. And after this vision is over, it was pretty quick. We only hear like a cling of metal hitting each other. I think that's what caused her to have the vision. Her hand starts to shake uncontrollably. This was pretty weird. I don't know what was going on, but I really wanted to know what happened more with the sword cleaning stuff and see a longer version of her fighting with the swords. And then it goes to a scene where Rumpel is walking through the forest talking about how he needs to go to the Temple of Morpheus to wake up Belle. Now, if you watch season 5, you know that Belle put herself to sleep because she just, I can't exactly remember why, but it was to protect the baby and herself. And after this, Rumpel then goes to the Temple of Morpheus, and he brings Belle there. He, like, poofs her in, as he does literally everything else, and he pours sand over the sleeping Belle so he can walk into her dreams. So the sand is really just there as a way for him to see and really, like, walk and kind of live in Belle's dreams as she's still sleeping. And then Morpheus is actually in Belle's dream too, and he acts as the dream wanderer. So Rumpel and Morpheus are together in this scene, walking together through Belle's dreams. And then it shows Regina entering her mansion to find a happy Zelina, and Zelina tells Regina how that Roland gave a feather that was specifically for Regina from one of Robin's arrow. And at this point, if you've watched the show, you know that Robin has unfortunately died, and that totally hurt Regina because she had been waiting so long for her happy ending, for her true love to come, and then all of a sudden he was totally just taken away from her. And though this little feather that Roland was supposed to give to Regina never got it because Zelina actually misplaced it. And of course she's mad about it, but she's trying not to be because it's her sister and they're on good terms right now. And then it quickly cuts to the scene where Jackal, Emma, Charming, and Regina are trying to capture Hyde. Emma is in charge of shooting something similar to a taser, which will hurt Hyde momentarily. She hesitates when it's time to shoot because she gets a longer version of her vision. So in this vision, we see it's really just a longer version. We see more fighting with the swords, more metals. We hear more of the metals clinging one another, and that's really all that there is in that little vision that we got. And So it cuts back to Belle's dream. I'm sorry. And Belle is dreaming about when she was still a servant in Rumpel's castle. So it's cool how it's this. We get to see like an old scene from an older episode. And Morpheus reminds Rumpel that if he doesn't wake her up soon, she'll be stuck sleeping forever. And it then switched to the part where Belle was supposed to drop the iconic teacup, you know, a little chip, but Rumpel actually catches it and it no longer becomes chipped. So I guess Chip is no longer Chip anymore. And then right after, Rumpel asks Belle to dance, and oh my gosh, this scene was so freaking cute. A tale as old as time was playing in the background as Rumpel and Belle, or aka Beauty and the Beast, were dancing with each other, and then the room gradually became brighter. So cute. And then we see that Regina is walking into the room where Robin died, and she actually hasn't been there in a while because I guess it's just too hard for her. It's just so much pain. And Zelina suddenly walks in too, and she suggests that they make up, but Regina refuses because she blames Zelina for Robin's death. Because, you know, if you watch season 5, Zelina and Hades had, you know, their relationship didn't end well when a lot of us thought that it was going pretty good. And then Zelina gets mad at that, like, you know, why are you blaming me, Regina? I'm your sister. And then Zelina gets mad at Regina about how Regina ripped out the only part similar to her, which was the evil queen. This evil part of her is the only thing that could connect Zelina and Regina together. And then Zelina says that she and the baby will be out by that night, and she disappeared. She poofed with her green smoke. And then Snow and Charming are out in the woods, and they find a trap. And they then call out to see if anyone's there, and they see in the distance what looks to be an angry mob holding torches. It was a pretty quick scene, and then it cut to Emma walking through the forest, and she suddenly sees this red bird that Hyde was talking about earlier. And she follows it, and it leads her to this young girl we saw in the beginning of the episode, the one where it's the young girl and Aladdin together. Yeah, she comes back in this episode, and later in this episode, and the girl has been called an oracle before, and she says that she knows Emma has been having visions, and she says the visions could tell her about the future. And then it cuts back to a scene of Rumple and Belle. After they're dancing and stuff, they kiss, and after that, Belle says to him, "We've done this before." And Belle starts remembering the heartbreak she got from Rumple. Oh my gosh, this was so crazy. And Belle says that she loves him and he loves her. You know, she's aware of all of that. But she then says that them being together only causes heartbreak, and the child is better off waiting for her to wake up. Then Morpheus suddenly just walks in, and he said that he's glad she's realizing all of this. And he said he's going to wake Belle up through true love's kiss. And literally, I was like, what are you doing? What's going on? And then Morpheus said that she's known him since he's been conceived. And it turns out that Morpheus is Belle and Rumple's son, but grown up. Like, he looks like he's in his early 20s at this point. And he's there because it is not only Belle's dream, but also his. Because, you know, he's in real life, he's still in her stomach. He hasn't been born yet. And he was there in the dream to warn Belle about Rumple. And next, Morpheus kissed Belle on the forehead, not on the lips, just because I thought he was going to kiss her on the lips and was about to be really confused. And then she immediately woke up because it was true love's kiss. It was her son who kissed her. And then it goes back to Emma and that young girl in the forest. And Emma proceeds to look directly in the eyes of the red bird. And we see a better and longer version of Emma's recurring vision. And it shows Emma fighting someone in a hooded cloak and eventually stabs her in the chest, causing her to die. And the young girl says that there's no way to change this, that this is the future. This is Emma's future, these visions that she's having. Oh my gosh, why is she gonna die? And then at the end of the episode, we see Regina and Snow talking to each other on a bench. And Regina talks about how she only heard the story she kept telling herself, which is her being the evil queen. She talks about how to some people she was a villain, but to others she's a hero. And Regina then says that she's going to write a new story for herself where the evil queen doesn't have a part and it will have a better ending. And right after Snow and Regina leave the bench, a feather, which appears to be the one that is for Regina, falls on the bench. So maybe it's kind of like a sign that, who is it? Robin was looking after them, and he was there. His presence was there. And then the final scene, of the episode that'll give us a glimpse of what's happening next week, next Sunday, it shows the evil queen, which was the one separated from Regina, in Zelina's home. And we see this part where the evil queen slides this glass of, I believe it was some sort of alcoholic drink, towards Lena and say, "Let's have a talk," or something like that. So yeah, that was a recap of season 6 premiere of Once Upon a Time. You know, if this is your first time hearing about this, maybe it'll make you want to watch the show. Or if you haven't seen the episode yet, maybe you want to watch it. The visuals are really cool. So that is it. You are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, if you cannot make it to the volleyball game tonight, there is a live volleyball broadcast tonight at 7. It is on radio.dominican.edu. So I will be here next week. The Eighth Dwarf, DJ Breezy here. And thank you so much. I hope you have a great day.